Anyway, open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. My responsibility is to lay out the steps or the groundwork, the foundation really to become a mighty man. Do you all want to be mighty men?
Amen.
Amen. For the Lord, right? So I want you to direct your attention up here to 2 Timothy 2:4 while you're finding Jeremiah chapter 9. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, "No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." 2 Timothy 2:4. I want you to see some things as far as introduction here. Four things that we are in a war. All right? No man that warreth. Don't walk around with your head in the sky and pretend like nothing's going on. You're in a battle. It may not be with fists and a physical battle, but it's a spiritual battle going on for the souls of men and women and boys and girls and to destroy your homes and destroy your life. There's a battle going on. Realize you're in a war. And we're not to be hindered. You see, we're not to get ourselves entangled with the affairs of this life. That's what the problem is with the church today. Men aren't spiritual. They're like spiritual babies. They have no spiritual backbone. We need to make sure that we're standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're walking with God so that we're not hindered and sidetracked and entangled or ensnared by all the affairs of this life. And we are to please Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Why do we do all that? That we might please the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath chosen us to be a soldier. We've been chosen for a mission, amen? We've been chosen to be salt and light in this world. And this world needs some light. It's a dark world, it's a sin-cursed world, and people need to get thirsty for the gospel. And we're supposed to be the salt that draws them to Jesus Christ so that we can give them the gospel. So you ought to be praying that the Lord will make a spiritual leader out of you and it'll make you a spiritual soldier in these next few days. You know, a lot has to happen for that to come to pass. You know, they talk about the Navy SEALs and they talk about these elite fighting groups and the Rangers and special operators. Those guys do a lot of training, a lot of preparation, and even a Navy SEAL, SEAL Team 6. Those guys didn't come from civilian life and then become SEAL Team and train for SEAL Team. They were already in the Navy, some of them commissioned officers, but they're fighting for something greater. They're trying to band together as a band of brothers, they call themselves, for special operations. Well, guess what I'm looking at right here? I'm looking at a real band of brothers. I'm looking at brothers in the Lord. And together, we ought to lock arms and say, we're going to fight this battle together. You know, you have your own different teams, but together, we're a real band of brothers. You know, they come from all different backgrounds and all that for these elite fighting groups. Well, we're from all different backgrounds. In fact, we're from different countries. We may have even spoken different languages, or we're in countries where they speak different languages. But together, we're a band of brothers in Jesus Christ. So, what's a description of a mighty man? Physically, he's a warrior. He's fierce. You're going to get into battle, put your game face on. It's a battle. And we need to be warriors. We need to be lean and tough and strong. I'm not quite as strong as I used to be. And I still think I'm a little tough, but you guys could probably show me that I'm not as tough as I used to be. And I'm certainly not lean, all right? So I'm certainly not lean. But you know what? A fighting man and a mighty man will have some scars and calluses. And I have some scars and calluses. I'm not afraid to do some work. I'm not afraid to do things that are out of my comfort zone. And sometimes you get some scars and calluses from just serving the Lord, you know? But also, here's one thing you need is a determined eye. You need to stay focused on what you're doing. You got to stop being entangled with the affairs of this life. You got to keep your eye on the prize, Jesus Christ, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, "Quit ye like men." That means when you're quitting, when you're done with that job, you finish strong. All right? You go all the way. You're courageous. You're quitting like a man. You're ending whatever it is you're doing, whatever service for the Lord, and it's finished. It's done. Quit like a man. We don't need quitters in the service of God. Amen? 2 Chronicles 15:7 says, "Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work will be rewarded." It may not seem like it now. And some of you are just plowing on and plowing on, and you're wondering, where's the reward? Well, that's in heaven, amen? And sometimes God gives us some rewards right here on earth. But that's coming. Someday you'll get a pat on the back, and you'll hear from the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But for right now, why don't you just get in the fight? Amen? Why don't you just get in the fight? Let's start fighting for the Lord's battles there, that go out and find some people that we can win to Jesus Christ. And God will do the rewarding when the thing is all said and done. Mighty men of God are men of faith. They trust in the Lord. They depend upon God. They're full of hope and wisdom and assurance and confidence. Yes, I don't care what grade you went to in school. If you're in this book, you're wiser than 99% of the people out there in the world, because you have the wisdom of God at your fingertips. And even if you're a 13, 14-year-old boy, if you're in that book, you have wisdom from God, because this is absolute truth that we hold in our hands. And we have the assurance and confidence that what we're doing, if we're serving God, that it's right. It's exactly the right thing to do. You'll never have to worry, am I on the right path if I'm following Jesus Christ? If my service is for Him, I'm doing what's right. I'm doing what's necessary, and it's worth every sacrifice, no matter what the cost. We need to have a spiritual backbone. We really do in this sinful world. You know, when David's mighty men show up for the first time, they're broken, and they're outcasts, and they're debtors. I remember before I got saved, that was me. I was broken. I was a debtor. I was an outcast until I met Jesus Christ, and He changed all that. And He's been working in my life to hopefully make me a mighty man of God. But let me tell you what mighty men are not. They're not supermen. We are not supermen. Superman ain't even Superman. You realize that's not true, fellas. There is not really a Superman and a Batman. We're not miracle workers. We're not popular, that's for sure. Not if you're standing for Jesus Christ. You're not going to be very popular. You're not going to be the most notable guy on the block. You won't be the most famous. Let me tell you, we have a little Bible study down there in McCroom with 6 or 7 people, and nobody's ever come down to film us or talk to us or the newspapers or the radio. They never come down and say, hey, what's going on here in McCroom with these 6 or 7 people you got? They don't care. They don't care that some people got saved and we're trying to learn the Bible and serve God. They don't care. But somebody cares. His name is Jesus Christ. So you just keep plowing on. You just keep going. I just want to be a mighty man for God. Well, look, we're not seeking to be perfect men either. We're just seeking to be mighty men of God. So here's the thing. If you have a job that you have to do on top of the roof, say, of your house, at the men's home, you're told to go up and fix one of those tiles on the top of the roof. So you throw the ladder up there, and there's a rung down the bottom, and there's a rung up top. That ain't going to work. You need steps in between to get up onto the roof to change that tile out, to do the work, you see? So that's what I want to do. I want to give you the steps as quickly and briefly as I can, give you the steps in order to get on the roof to do the job, in order to become a mighty man. So now we're in Jeremiah chapter 9 and in verse 23 and verse 24. Some characteristics here. Verse 23 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You know, these are our mission objectives, really. It matters not how strong you are, and there's a lot of strong dudes in here, I'm sure. It matters not how smart you are. Well, there might be some smart people in here. Amen. And it matters not how good-looking you are. And certainly, if you were standing here, we got a problem in that area for sure. It doesn't matter. What matters is, do you know the Lord? It says, but let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Do you know the Lord? I mean, just because you're here at this men's camp don't even mean you're saved. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again? And Christian, If you're a Christian, do you really know the Lord? Are you walking with Him every day? Because that's the strength that you need to become a mighty man. You need Him. Now, verse 1. Mighty men love their king. Mighty men love their king. I don't know what kind of spaces you got there. Maybe you can fill that in. Mighty men love their king. God wants us to love Him more than anything. In Mark 12, 30, and ye shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The first thing you need to do is love Jesus Christ more than anything else in your life. Not your car, not your PlayStation, not mama, not your wife. Jesus Christ has to be first. Nothing else can come before your love for Him. David was more than an authority to these men, you see, His mighty men. These men were not mercenaries. They weren't paid killers. They risked everything because they loved their king. They just loved David. Think how far you'll go as a mighty man if you just love Jesus Christ with all your heart and with all your soul and mind and strength. That'll take you all the way down to the end. That'll take you all the way. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. Why do you even love Jesus Christ? Because He loved you first. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why you love Him. You didn't love Him before. You didn't love Him until He loved you. Aren't you glad? They desired to protect their king. Those mighty men protected David. Our God doesn't need much protection, does He? He can do pretty well on His own. But He could use some of His children, some of His mighty men, to stand up and draw a line in the sand and say, who's on the Lord's side? I'm going to stand with Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand with the will of God. Who will love Jesus more than the things of this world? That's what's going to change you. That's what's going to get you all the way down the road, your love for Jesus Christ. And call some fellow soldiers into the battle also. Get somebody else to lock arms with you and go and do the will of God. David was their motivation. His men were loyal and respected him in spite of David's flaws. They still loved him. Let me remind you, King Jesus has no flaws. Not a one. He is holy, undefiled, separate from sinners. I think we have somebody we can look up to. We have a great king. Their example, David was a mighty man. 1 Samuel 16:18 says, he was a mighty, valiant man. He was still tending the sheep when that said of David. He was a mighty, valiant man. It was in here. It was in his walk with God. That's what makes you strong. Not lifting the weights. That works on the body. You need your faith strengthened. You need your love for God strengthened. Our great commander and king is the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God. And that's somebody we can look up to. So how do we bring that home? Love for our King Jesus. Just love Him. And do all things for His honor. Don't ever leave Him either. Don't ever leave your first love. Men of God should know the value in unity. What is it? Philippians 1:27 says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We should be all going in the same direction. Amen? And love is what's going to bind us together. Because we're going to have enough problems with each other that love is going to have to cover a multitude of sins. What's going to keep us going in the same direction is love for Jesus Christ. And then we'll develop a love for each other that looks way past any faults with our brother. If you love me, keep my commandments. Loving Him is to obey Him. John 14:15 says, don't say you love Jesus and then go around and do your own thing. That's not showing love for God. To love God means to obey Him. And remember this, 1 Corinthians 1:10 says there should be no divisions among you. We ought to be tightly knit, because a divided kingdom or a divided house, a divided church, a divided home is going to fall. So we need to maintain unity and a good spirit on your teams. Get a good spirit going. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on the Lord, and your teams should pull together. Just like the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for as the body is one and hath many members, And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So even in your team, there's going to have to be selflessness. You're going to have to work together. It's not about you, it's about the team. Amen? It's about the body of Christ. You're going to have to keep rank. That means you're working shoulder to shoulder. You're working together. And you're going to stay orderly. You're going to do what's right. Working together to conquer our enemies out there in the world. Why? Because we love our King. Because we love our King and His calling on our lives. Number two, the mighty man has a servant attitude. He has a servant attitude. Matthew 23 and verse 11 says this, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Sometimes we don't like that. But if you want to be great in God's eyes, you need to become a servant. Because mighty men are first servants before they're ever soldiers. You have to have a heart desire to help each other and to serve each other. And that's what great men of God are. They're servants. They're looking for some way to help, something to do, even each other. To serve God, to serve the king's wishes. Isn't that what David's men did? Look over at 2 Samuel. Turn to 2 Samuel, verse 23. Chapter 23, I'm sorry. 2 Samuel, chapter 23. Mighty man has to have a servant attitude. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 15 says, "And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men." You know, David just wanted a drink. He wanted a drink back in his hometown well, so to speak. And he just longed for it. And these men immediately got up and broke through the Philistine lines. They hazarded their lives for a drink of water. There was no debate. They just immediately got up because they loved David. They loved their king. They wanted to serve him. They weren't going there to get gold. They weren't going there to take silver. They were going there to get a drink of water out of a well. Let me tell you something. That's honorable. And God honors you when you honor Him. You can mark it down. God will honor you if you honor Him with your life. And David took that and poured it out. And he said, these men have hazarded their lives to get me a drink of water. And he poured it out unto God. You know, it would be good for us to pour out some precious things to God. Give it right back to God. Those precious things in your life that He's given to you, give them back to God. That's what a servant does. He has a desire to serve his king, and he doesn't consider the hardship or the danger. The last thing we need is soft men. There's enough of them out there. Just take a walk and look at them going up and down the street with their tight jeans on and their swifty hair or whatever you want to call it there. I mean, come on. Men are supposed to be men. Not supposed to walk around looking like a girl. But that's the way the world is today. Some of the girls seem to love it. Maybe they talk about makeup together when they get together. I don't know. But men are supposed to be men. Hey, sometimes it's hard just doing His will, isn't it? God's called you to do something, and you kind of start shaking, and you're wondering, I don't know if I can do that. Start wavering in your faith. Servant just says, I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. If it was easy, he'd get somebody else to do it. But he's asking you to do it. And you're going to have to trust him. So what we do, what pleases him. Remember the main text there in 2 Timothy 2:4. We're doing it to please him who hath chosen us. We're doing this to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 29. John chapter 8, verse 29 says, And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now, who's speaking there? Jesus is. And he says, for I do always those things that please him. And because he always did the Father's will, he always did what pleased God, he said, God's always with me. My Father and I are so close in our relationship. If you feel far away from God, it's probably because you're doing something that is not pleasing to God. And the Holy Spirit is withdrawn, and he's shy, and he doesn't want to be a part of your sin. The closeness of the relationship with Jesus Christ is because you're doing his will and you're in service to God, and he gets closer and closer and closer, and he becomes stronger and stronger in your life. Just make sure that if there's a request from the Lord, that you immediately do his will. Those three men, boom, gone. They just heard David quietly say, I would sure like to have a drink out of that well. And they were gone. And breaking through the lines to get that water. We should be so eager to do the will of God. Jesus said servants are greatest in the kingdom. Well, you're not going to be the greatest in this world, I can guarantee you that. The world could care less about you, and the world doesn't love you. Jesus does. Let's care about what he thinks. You need some humility in order to become a servant. Let me ask you, can God count on you? Can God count on you if he calls on you? Does he know you're going to answer the call? Will you respond when God calls you to do something for him as a mighty man of God? Because frankly, after you leave these teams on Saturday and you go back to whatever it is you're doing, wherever it is you live and your life, you're standing alone sometimes. You're going to have to stand as a mighty man. You're going to have to humble yourself and say, God, what do you want me to do right where I am? How can I serve you? These men didn't do mighty things to become mighty either. They did it because it was necessary. It just needed to be done. We have a calling. Every single one of us has the same calling in this room. Now, I could say it's the will of God. You'd have to figure that out for yourself. But I'll tell you what, in this book, it says that we're to go out and win people to Jesus Christ. And there's at least 5 million souls that need Jesus Christ on this island. Now, what are we doing about it? Because you're going to have to humble yourself to go out there and take this gospel, which they don't like, but they certainly need. You're going to have to humble yourself and go out and take all the rejection that comes with it many times so somebody can get saved. Are you ready to do that? Number three, the mighty man depends upon the Lord. Turn over to Philippians. The mighty man has to depend upon the Lord. Philippians chapter, you know this verse, you just memorized it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we kind of just pluck that verse out. And I don't know that we always apply it the right way. Let's start in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul then says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul's talking about hardship. Whether he's on the mountaintop or whether he's in the valley, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Sometimes I think it's the extremes that cause people to get out of service for the Lord. Either it's too hard, or things have gotten real easy, and they've gotten away from the calling upon their life. But Paul said, when it's good times and when it's bad, when it's an easy place of service, when it's a hard place of service, no matter what the hardship is or the good times, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Be careful. When things get too hard, you don't run away from God. That's when you need the strength of the Lord. That's when you're going to depend upon him. And when things get so good, things are really going fine, you kind of tend to forget God. But you still need him. So you don't get off on your own and get yourself into a bunch of trouble in places you don't want to be. 1 Samuel 16:18. Then answered one of his servants and said, Behold, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing. I was going to have a bunch of guys come up here, but for the sake of time, imagine a man standing up here and he's good at the guitar. He's cunning in playing. I was going to have John, but I don't see him in here. And it says, and a mighty man, a mighty valiant man. And I could get Kevin Masters up here. He's a big boy. Get him up here, he'd be a mighty valiant man. And then the verse goes on and says, and a man of war. Dan Parrow, where is he? He's a man of war. There he is. And prudent in matters. That's Brother Ledbetter. He's a thinker. So he's the other part of this equation. And a comely person. That's where I had a problem. Because I just can't find a comely person. But I'll go, all right, I'll go with Leighton. Now I'll really make you laugh, right? Now I'm going to go with Leighton. And you can have all of that, and they're all standing there and say, wow, David had all those characteristics in one young lad. He was cunning in playing. He was valiant. He was a man of war. He was prudent. He was a thinker. He was careful about what he did, and he was comely. But that's not what made David great. That's not why they followed David, because the rest of the verse says, and the Lord is with him. That's what did it. That's what drove Saul crazy. The Lord is with him. So I could stand all those men up here and say, now there's a mighty man. And I'll take this young man right here and bring him up and say, is the Lord with you? Yes, he is. This man here is a mighty man. You need to depend on God, not on your talents and your abilities, is what I'm trying to say. Depend upon the Lord. And that's what David did. Because when God's with you, you're invincible. You know, nobody can do anything to you that God doesn't allow. I'm not going home early unless I do something to my body and get out of the will of God and start going back to the things I used to do and kill myself by doing it. I don't know. But you know what? I'm not going home until God wants me to go home. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm invincible. I'm bulletproof. If God wants me to die, He'll allow that to happen. But when God's with you, and you're doing the will of God, you're invincible until God says it's time to come home. David's only problem was David. And that's your problem, is you. Our biggest problem is what you shaved in the mirror this morning, if you had one. Some of you don't look like you shaved. That's all right. We're in men's camp, amen? But you know, David's problem was David, and my problem is me. Because we're weak without God. Without God, we're weak. We may think we're strong, but we're not. But with God, I can do anything. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. David's walk with God helped his men in their walk with God. You know, it is biblical to follow somebody. You see somebody walking with God, it's okay to follow them. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. But we do need to develop our own faith and trust. But if you got somebody that you can follow and they look like they're following the Lord, your pastor, some leader, you need to follow them as long as they follow God. But God's army follows by faith. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our strength, even our wisdom, even our talents, even our good looks, even our faith. That's what overcomes the world. Do you feel yourself kind of slinking down in your chair saying, I just need to depend upon God? My faith has got to be in Him. He can make me a mighty man. The things that we learn here at camp should all point us back to it's Him. It's God in us. That is where the real might is. That's where my strength is. It's in the Lord. It's in my faith in Him. Now turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Your faith. Romans Romans chapter 1, look at verse 5. Romans 1, 5 says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. You see that, the faith? That's the unchanging faith. That's Jesus Christ. That's the Word of God. That's the faith. That's what we're contending for. Contending for the faith. Truth. That doesn't change. But look at verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Our faith can change. Our faith can be weak one minute, and then it's strong. That's all through exercise. You have to exercise your faith. You've got to trust God. If He says go into a certain area and start knocking on doors or talk to your family members about Jesus Christ or serve some way in the church and you're nervous about it and you're wondering what to do, trust Him. Exercise your faith and strengthen it. And you'll get some strength muscles. Amen? Our faith changes. The faith never changes. Put your faith in the faith. Trust God. And you'll be able to do whatever He calls you to do. That's why Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. My faith is in Him, the unchanging one, Jesus Christ. I live by His faith. You know, you need to depend on your Bible. You're not going to know what King Jesus has for you in your life. You're not going to know His will for your life unless you're in this book. He does have a mission. It's called a commission. It's called going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I think some more people need to be one to Jesus Christ. I think we need to pick up that mantle and go and win people to Jesus Christ. It's going to take some faith. But you're not going to know that unless you spend time in this book. And just by way of knowing that there's enough men in here, you're all not reading your Bible every day. You know it. I hope you are. I hope you're spending your 1 hour in the Bible, your 4 chapters at least, so you can read your Bible through in a year. I hope you're studying your Bible and not even just reading it. But great men of God are men of the Word of God. You know that Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. If you men in the RU home know it, can you help me? Let's say the first 3 verses, amen? Say it with me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. David wrote that, didn't he? And it's because he was in this book. He loved the Lord. He depended upon God. And he depended upon Him more because he knew Him. And you're going to know God through this book. And you ought to be men of prayer. Mighty men of prayer. I'm going to say a little more about that in a minute. But great men of God are men of prayer. Daniel, even when the decree was written, you remember he was in captivity, still prayed every day. Got on his knees 3 times a day, threw open his window, pointed towards Jerusalem, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And I wonder how much personal time you have with God, because that's where the real power is. That's where the real power is when you're all alone, and you're praying in your room, and you're in your closet, all by yourself. That's where the real power of God is for the Christian. Maybe that's why we're not great men of God, because it's such a discipline that is lacking in our lives. Mighty men of God are weak without God. What makes you strong is your walk with God. So we have to depend upon Him. God uses weak things, doesn't He? He uses the base things of the world. The reality is that God is the strength that is in us. So our victories are not for selfish reasons. They're for the glory of God. They're for His glory, because He's who we are depending upon. Number 4, the mighty man fights the right cause. He fights for the right cause. 1 Samuel 17:29. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? They were all upset with him. What have I done? Isn't there a cause? Look at these uncircumcised Philistines. Look at them. They're defying the armies of the living God. He was fighting something much bigger. Literally, something much bigger. Goliath, a 10-foot giant. But there was a bigger cause. The very nation of Israel. The Jewish people. It was the will of God. It was the Lord's battle. You need to find His cause and stand with Him. Whatever God wants you to do. The right cause is whatever pleases the Lord. Willing to sacrifice for a greater cause. Turn over to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. First Samuel 17 and verse 46. David's getting ready to chop off his head. First, he's going to hit him with a sling, his stone. It says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now that was the real purpose of the fight. That all the world might know that there's a God in Israel. And He is God. That's a greater cause. They were motivated. David was motivated. We ought to be motivated. We have a great cause to serve God. They knew that if they didn't fight, they'd lose. Those mighty men knew that they were going to die or they were going to lose. So you need to have the right focus for your motivation, because there's a lot at stake here. How about God's will for your family? God's will for the churches? God's will for souls? God even has a will for the enemy, the devil. Step on his neck. Resist him by faith. Don't let the devil beat you down. Nowhere does the Bible tell us to run from the devil. It tells us to flee sin. Flee fornication, but we are to meet the devil head on and resist him by faith. A mighty man will see the victories in his life. I used to be an addict. I used to use foul language. I used to drink. I used to smoke cigarettes. It used to be all about me. I used to listen to wicked music. But now it's about Him. He changed me. I have a lot of victories that I can look back on. I'm not the person I used to be. And you can say the same thing. That's victories that you can hang your hat on. They're proven victories. Jesus did that, and He can do a whole lot more in your life. Victory in spite of failures, too. That's what real courage is to go on even in despite failures, despite setbacks, to just go forward. You get some sins defeated. You get some attitude changes in your life. You see some answers to prayer. It's no longer about you, it's about Him. That's victory. I'm fighting for the right things now. I'm not fighting for the wrong things. Now I'm fighting for the right things. I'm fighting the right cause. And the last one is, have some personal discipline. Some personal discipline. Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Proverbs 25:28. Easy access. Walk right in. If you're having problems in your Christian life, it's because you've let the wall down. You've allowed the enemy easy access into your heart and into your life. So David's problem was. David let the walls down with Bathsheba, didn't he? David was a passionate man. Sometimes too passionate. Amen. Hey, you know what Nathan said when he came to him with his little parable there? And he said, you know, David realized then that he was the man. It was his problem. God knew what he had done. But David had all those ewe lambs. David was the rich man with all those other ewe lambs, all those wives he had. But he didn't take one of them and satisfy himself. He looked at some poor man's one little ewe lamb, and he took her, And Nathan tells him, when the traveler came, David didn't take of his own flock. He took of that poor man's one little ewe lamb. You know who the traveler is, don't you? It's the flesh. And the traveler comes to you, too. The traveler is the flesh. And when it comes, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to buffet your body? Are you going to bring it under submission? Are you going to tell him, no? All David had to do was, he's already home, was go find one of his wives. But he didn't. He had a lust problem. And we have problems too when our flesh is in control instead of the Spirit of God. That's when the traveler comes. We need to have some personal integrity. Boy, that makes a man strong, I'll tell you. It doesn't matter how big or strong he is outwardly, if he has integrity and walking with God, he's strong. God can use a person like that. Dependable. Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. We need to be diligent. There's hard work to do. Don't be lazy. Turn to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. I think this might be the last scripture here. Proverbs 24. Of course, you heard that before. This is the last scripture. But I think it is. Proverbs 24 and in verse 30, look what it says. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, looked upon it, and received instruction. You know, that's what happens when you neglect something, when you're lazy, you want to go your own way, and you're not tending to the things that need tending to, like your heart. And the wall comes down, and the weeds start growing, and the nettles get into your heart, and you start doing things you would never think that you would do. You need to build that stone wall back up again. You need to clear them weeds out of your heart so you can be a mighty man for God. And look, I won't take you to Matthew 6:6. You know it talks about going into your closet and being a man of prayer. Being all alone with God. We need to spend more time with our Lord. That discipline of prayer is so neglected in the Christian's life. And it shows. Because God said, if you're in your prayer closet and you're praying to your Father in secret, who knoweth all that you need, He will reward you openly. We would see a whole lot more blessings in our lives if we were in our prayer closet alone talking with God. That video's come out, War Room. That's where the war takes place, in prayer, alone. So let's wind this up. Constant training. You're always going to have to be training. Those Navy SEALs do it. These elite fighting groups do it. Top Gun pilots, the best of the best. They're always training. They're with their teammates. They know their adversary. And they're preparing themselves. Prepare yourself with the Word of God. Amen. Acts 17:11 says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Make sure you're in this book. Exercise yourself unto godliness. 1 Timothy 4:7 and 8 talks about bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Having the promise of life that now is and that which is to come. You need to be on guard. Keep your heart with all diligence. When something gets near or close to your heart, be just like a guard at the gate. Halt! Who goes there? What are you doing trying to get into my heart? Stop them. Exercise godliness. Halt! Great men control their attitude too. Proverbs 16:32. It's better to rule our spirit than take a great city. Have some convictions. Have some things you're not going to change on. Like, this Bible is the Word of God, is it not? Our King James Bible is the Word of God, is it not? Amen. That means the other ones aren't. Because there's only one book translated from the right text, and that's this book. So you're never going to find another Bible. This is the Bible. Amen? All right. That's a conviction. And be careful what you see. And what you hear, and what you think, and what your tongue says. You can build people up or you can tear them down. Proverbs 17:28 says, Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So if you don't know what to say, shut up. Don't say anything. And people might think, he's wise. You know, he's thinking of something. No, you just have no idea what to say. Or maybe you're going to say something stupid, so just shut up. And you could be esteemed a man of understanding. And make sure you place yourself under the authorities in your life. God put those authorities there for a reason. Whether it's a pastor or, you know, some other leader in the church or even the government, even parents, police, the guards, right? They're all there for a reason. Unless they tell you to do something that's contrary to this book. This is the final authority. But God put those government, those authorities in your life. So let's finish it up now. I want everybody to stand up. In your teams. And lock arms. Lock arms, team. Fill in the gaps. Fill in the gaps and lock arms. You're a team. Number one, you're going to love your king. Amen? And that love is going to bind you together in your groups. You're going to have a servant's attitude. That's it, lock arms. You're going to have a servant's attitude. You're going to meet each other's needs this week, amen? You're going to depend upon God, because I guarantee you, none of you are going to learn how to throw that sling, that stone. You're going to hit each other, but you will not hit those Philistines. You're going to have to depend upon God. Fight for the right cause. Stay on the Lord's side, amen, and fight for His will, and develop and maintain personal discipline in your life. And whoever the captain is on your team, he's the authority. Place yourself under his authority. We just found out who the captains are. These are the necessary steps, men, these five steps. So imagine how this group right here, if we did this, spiritually, all the time, we could reach Ireland with the gospel. We're just going to go through some things here during the week to see that teamwork, it works. Now, we got to have one good shout. Amen? On three, I want to hear King Jesus. On three. Ready? One, two, three.
King Jesus!
Man, that wasn't bad. I thought for sure I'd have to do it twice. So let's do it again. One, two, three.
King Jesus!
Amen. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sure do love you, Lord, and we love you, King Jesus, for what you've done for us. Now we're going to go have some fun, but we're going to learn some lessons, Lord. I pray you speak to our hearts, and we learn that our dependence is not upon these weapons. It's upon you, Lord. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.